Hey, fellas, first win of the season for the Celtics. First win for
Udoka.
Celtics postgame show. It's the kids tonight.
What's up?
Jimmy Toscano, Bobby Manning. I am Josue Pavone.
Fellas. It's the kids' table at Thanksgiving right now, man.
Which one of you were scared throughout the first half? All right. I could go full Xanis right now. I could
This is boomer free. This is a boomer free segment, by the way.
Oh,
I want to make that clear.
I'm so happy.
Okay, well, you can't really do the full Xanis if the Celtics won.
Well, you know what? Xanis was scheduled to be on the show, but when the Celtics won, he was like, you know what? I'm not
What would Xanis have led with?
I'm not doing it because the Celtics won.
I think Xanis would have led with what we're leading
I'm just kidding.
We're doing our best Xanis impression.
He would have led with. He would have led with. So Al Horford is showing everyone that he's the only one with heart out there. He would live with that.
I know.
He's been there. He won. Al Horford, man, he got it done on both ends. You ask me, he closed the door on the Celtics team, on this Rockets team. Grant Williams, 5 3-pointers in this one. We could start with that. Jason Tatum bouncing back with 31 points. We can lead with that. Of course, this team was shorthanded. No Jalen Brown. An hour and a half?
That's the real lead.
We found out. No Romeo Langford. So,
yeah,
we'll get into that.
We'll do our best, John, leading with Brown's injury and Langford's absence after a big win here.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that, but you know what? Let's just start with the game.
Real quick.
20-point win for the Celtics. I mean, granted, what you saw throughout the first half, I didn't think this team could win by 20. I figured the Celtics could
win. You got to do your math over. You got to check your math, bro.
Oh, they
10,
won by 10.
Me, 10. 10, excuse me.
They had a 20-point lead.
You gotta carry the one. Yeah. It's 10.
Josue didn't watch that for one.
Well, I guess what I meant is
it was 20.
That
it
20
was 20.
Point lead disappeared really quickly, and I was thinking, here we go again. I mean, which one of you guys? I mean, which one was scared that the Celtics were about to go 0-3? Be honest. A little bit. No.
I think this is the game. It seemed kind of stinks. They're all young guys. That doesn't usually bode well to winning a bunch of games. That'll be fun. I think you saw the fun side of this team here. But they're also going to lose a million games and probably pick high again. So you couldn't lose a game to this team. They turned it over left and right. They were giving the Celtics runouts. They made Al Horford look like it's 2017, let's say. They were crazy, too. The Rockets were pretty terrible in this game outside of Jalen Green hitting a bunch of threes. So you had to come out and win this one. And even with the early deficit, the way Jason Tatum was laying down buckets there in the mid-range had you feeling good about his touch in this game. And ultimately, it ended up being by far his most efficient game here. So he set a tone. The passing was good. The movement and transition went really well. I thought Dennis Schroeder set a great tone in the starting lineup there. I love that decision by Udoka. And sort of going with your best five to start. He's been looking for balance between the two units. Celtics just put their best five out there to start this one, and they went down early. Bench kind of broke Grant Williams and the like. And then once the starters got back out there again, they just rolled the rest of the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was concerned. I mean, obviously, it was, when you're dealing with the Celtics team that played the way they did on Friday night, you really don't know what the hell to expect. So, I mean, I was, I know the Celtics are better than the Houston Rockets. I'll at least say that. We can all agree there. So, when a team is, kind of going back and forth early in the game, you're kind of expecting at some point they'll pull away, and that's kind of what happened. But it was all hands on deck tonight. I mean, without Jaylen Brown in the lineup, I was very, we've given, on this show specifically, we've given Grant Williams a lot of heat, but he deserves praise when it's due. And, I mean, this is a guy that's, really showed out tonight and, decent preseason. He obviously came into this season. He had dropped some pounds, and he's kind of like
– Yeah, he's already got two this year.
Right. I mean, he's here to play. So you got to give him credit for that. And they needed that production off the bench tonight. You mentioned Schroeder. Making my prediction kind of look good. One of my only good predictions so far, I think, is that Schroeder's going to have a great season. Well, the full prediction was he's going to have a better season than Smart and Pritchard and end up basically starting, which he did start tonight. And I think we'll probably get into Smart a little bit later. But, I mean, Schroeder seems like a guy that's kind of getting really comfortable out there. He's just playing his game. He's not trying to do, way too much. He's kind of taking what comes to him. But he's a guy that can give you that spark. He's energetic. He's kind of flashy. He's definitely a player that you have to respect offensively if you're the opposition. So that's huge. So I liked what he gave them. And it was good to see Tatum look a little bit more, fluid, comfortable out there. You knew that he had to, you know, if you bet the Tatum over on points tonight, I bet you there's a few people watching the show that slammed that over as soon as they found out Jaylen Brown was out. And he ended up, like, I think he hit it in, like, the third quarter. So that was a nice, easy bet for a lot of people. And that's what you
what
need.
Was it?
It was, like, 26.5 or something like that. What did he end up with? Because Nicky had, like, 26 in, like, the third or something
31.
Like that.
31.
Yeah. So he did his thing, and the Celtics pull a W that was a much-needed W. This was a must-win, not in the sense where it's like there's huge implications, but you could not lose to this Houston Rockets team.
Yeah, I think after Friday's game, I mean, Bobby and I talked about it. It was more of a effort/heart thing, right? Like, you have to bounce back from a loss like that. You have to show that, you know, you have that heart and that effort was gonna you know, play itself out against the Rockets. And we saw that from Tatum. You know, I like the well-balanced attack. He didn't set up a lot of three-pointers. I thought the Celtics as a team, they did shoot a lot of threes, but the defense backed it up. The effort on the defensive end backed it up. So I was okay with that. I didn't mind them taking, what was it, 53-pointers they took? Or 47, 15 of 47. I mean, their open work, you know, they weren't forced, but they were making an effort to push the ball, making
this
an effort
team can't
to
shoot.
Look in the paint. You know, like,
yeah, they got to get into the paint because this team can't shoot. It's crazy. Grant Williams, right? The best four spacer right now.
What's that?
Grant Williams is probably your best four spacer right now. They're going to have to feed him minutes in that regard. So it's unbelievable. And we knew that coming into this year that spacing was going to be a challenge. On the Tatum point, though, bouncing back, we didn't get his comments in real time because we were done with post game by the time he came on and spoke on Friday night. But he was pretty conciliatory, you know, saying that the call has gone inside his head and he let it get away from him. You go back and watch that tape, and I wrote about it for CLNS. They just lost control, went off the rails when a couple calls went against them. And the third there, they stopped getting back in transition. And, like, he was really conciliatory on that, saying, like, I gotta stop doing that. I gotta stop getting so caught up with the officials there. And, you know, to paraphrase what he said after the game. And he came out here, and I saw one complaint, maybe. You know, he got a good whistle in this one overall, but he was pretty aggressive. You know, shot a lot of tough shots early on, but that kind of gave him the confidence, it felt like, to go inside later, step into the three-point line later in the game. He was excellent in this one. 50% from a guy who's had huge efficiency problems going back to the preseason is a great way to get back on track here.
Do you have, like, a note, like, a notebook that just says, like, Tatum's behavior? You know, like, do you, like, keep an eye on that? Like, him and the refs, like.
Like, honestly, I know I'm still stunned they didn't bench him for that. That was crazy. It was like a scene on the court on Friday when he had got that offensive foul. But, you know,
well, we joked about it, like, Celtic pride, like when the coach benches Scott on.
Scott.
Yeah,
that's right.
He benches Scott for like 30 seconds before the game, like, even really. It's like 30
Look
seconds.
Look at what benching Grant Williams.
What happens when he eventually blows a gasket? Like, that's going to happen. Like, you can't control it. Like, it's gonna. You know, every superstar
that's the
goes
other thing
it.
Is,
if you care enough.
But that's what he said. He's like, I can't control it. Everybody does it, which I guess is true. You know, if LeBron's
but you have
doing
to control it,
I guess it doesn't kill
you. You know what? You have to control it, and you don't want to have that label attached to you. Like, oh, like, you know, the refs. And,
oh, it's attached to him
that,
already.
I know. Well, I think he's still, you know, early enough in his career where he doesn't have to. It's not going to. It doesn't have to follow him for his entire career. He can lose it. He can sort of settle down and focus your energy on, you know, something else during the game. You know, even like. What happens to Tatum is he gets so frustrated with maybe just not just the referees, but sometimes himself. Like in game one, for example, he struggled so badly in that game where even in the overtime when he had like the and one, the nice finish at the rim, like he couldn't even be happy about it. He was just pissed off because like he was basically like, oh, finally, like I score, you know, like one of those type of things. So it's like he's very hard on himself out there. And I don't think that helps. I certainly don't think that would help his game. And if he's going to focus on not getting a call or whatever, yeah. Then that's just something that he's not got his mind in the right place out there on the court. So
right. Well,
that's something that he has to work on. That's a maturity thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a difference between like one separate occasion or one separate incident than, you know, pouting, you know, throwing your arms up constantly. Like that's a,
That has nobody to wants to see that. Like nobody wants to see that.
And no ref
like,
wants to give you the benefit of the doubt.
No, it's not going to help.
Time.
You're not LeBron James.
Okay, Horford. Well, first of all, with the benching, look at what that did to Grant after he got benched for complaining in the preseason. That obviously seemed to get him going. But Horford, in this game, He was getting like a LeBron whistle. It was unreal. And that's a guy who never complains. So Horford has definitely earned some respect from the rest of the
Garden Report is brought to you, as always, by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. A new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Once again, use the code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. From football to basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Once again, BetOnline, where the game starts. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Oh, that's Ime's whole point. He said, we need to earn some respect. I think it hurts guys in this league when they're complaining every single play. You know, we'll have to see how that bears out with the stats here. I know our guy Matt Moore's been hot on this too with the Celtics. He's very interested to see what a team that doesn't complain statistically looks like from the free throw standpoint all year. And to not bench a guy for complaining, like Ime thought he was going to do there, or Ime said he was going to do in the preseason, that I think kind of hurts because he doesn't have a stiff rule, like we said. Like, there needs to be a zero tolerance with this. I don't know. Why do you guys think he didn't bench him? Did he agree with the call? Did he disagree with the call on the offensive foul? Do you think it was a weak tech? Were they losing and within enough that he wanted to keep them in the game by keeping Tatum out there? Like, I was just stunned that he kept them out there.
Probably all the above, Bobby. I mean, yeah. I don't want to say Tatum gets like a pass, but I just feel like in the heat of the moment, those emotional reactions, it's going to be like, okay, don't make this a habit, but if it happens once, it's okay. Like, you have to win this game still, you know?
Yeah, and then it went the other way. It went to a 20-point game because they completely lost focus. So that's a good lesson for him, too. You know, I think we forget Ime's learning lessons, too, as a head coach. I think he made some good adjustments just in terms of how he put the rotation out there to start this one. And we can talk about that next, I guess, is the tone Dennis Schroeder put out there to start this game, starting in the place of Jaylen Brown. I thought that was a terrific move. I think it's something they might be able to carry forward, and Jimmy's going to take a victory lap very early here on Schroeder being better than Smart. Was that your prediction, that he's going to be better than Smart this year?
I think he's going to have a better season than Smart and become like sort of like the favorite of amongst the point guards, basically. More of like the go-to dependable guy. And separate note, I said he was going to end up being like kind of like the fan, like a fan favorite. Not saying the two are. I'm not, you know, it was two kind of separate points. But basically that Schroeder was going to eventually be the guy. So he gets to start tonight. Obviously, with Jaylen Brown out, you know, somebody needed to start, right? So Ime elected to go with the point guard, you know, adding a point guard to the roster and sliding Smart to the two, which I don't know if that's any indication on how he thinks Smart's been handling the two, or if he just thought it was a good matchup decision, or if he just doesn't think. Yeah, or if he doesn't, you know, obviously with Romeo out, then he couldn't start Romeo. Nesmith certainly doesn't look like, you know, comfortable enough to be in the starting lineup right now, and they're already going double big, so maybe there weren't really many other options. But Schroeder certainly is capable of being a starter. I mean, he was started a ton of games for the Lakers last year, and he's been starting, you know, throughout his career. So it's not like he's being asked to do something that he's not used to doing or capable of doing. Certainly, one of the reasons he chose Boston, maybe the reason, was because he knew there was an opportunity here, you know? So obviously it wasn't because of the money, but he saw, you know, what was going on in Boston. He saw it was a chance to win and a chance to play and prove that he's worth more than what he's getting paid this season. And when you play, you know, when you get that spot start and you go up and you go 18 points and you shoot 7-14, you know, that tells everybody that, you know, you've definitely got a spot in this league and on this team for sure.
Yeah, I like the flexibility in that lineup too. You know, you got the 3-point shot, you know, you got guys really running the floor, like, even when they were trailing, I was like, as long as they continue to play this within this offense, then, you know, things will work itself out. And of course, the effort on the defensive end had to step up a notch, and that's exactly what they did, especially in that second half. And it was right at the gate, right after halftime. I was like, okay, here we go. Now we're gonna send a message right now. We're gonna start, you know, distancing ourselves. They got up to 20 point lead. You know, Rockets came roaring back, but then they were able to close the door on the Rockets in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Schroeder's a guy, to me, if we compare the guards there at the top, that makes the defense respect him with his driving ability. He gets the spots on the floor where he can be a threat, and that's so key to being a facilitator. You got to be able to be a threat to score, draw guys, and kick it out, and he's doing that nonstop. I think his facilitating has been better than I expected so far with this team, better than his scoring, which is kind of what we expected from him, like a burst scorer, six-man candidate, spark plug type of guy. I actually think he's been more what we expected from Smart, which is getting downhill, finding guys on the perimeter and keeping the ball moving, especially in transition. Remember that pass along the sideline? Zipped it right to Pritchard in transition in the first half. That was a great play. I'm fine with him continuing to start moving forward because at this point, just like John, I'm ready to give up on double big. You know, keep Grant at the four. Don't make him play some backup center minutes. Don't make Cantor get in there when that has to happen. Spread out the minutes between Rob and Horford. Have more wings on the floor, have more playmakers on the floor across the board there. And, you know, maybe pair up Rob with Pritchard off the bench. That's a good combination there. You know, I don't think Smart's making himself enough of a threat right now to be a great facilitator. It took him three games to hit a two-pointer or layup with that, you know, crazy spin move or that crazy, like, handoff move going left side there. He's been terrible from the field. I think you might have to kind of move Smart back to that hybrid role on the wing there, and that might help your defense too. The Celtics were much better defensively in this one.
Yeah, did Smart get exposed? It seemed like Schroeder was just calling all the shots. I mean, not exposed in the sense that he can't man the team, but it seemed like Schroeder.
Smart looks so bad. Did you see Wood just walk by him on a cut?
He just took things into his own hands. I feel like, but not, you know, in the sense of running the offense, not just, you know, controlling the ball.
It's natural.
It doesn't seem like. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, Schroeder is more of that's more natural position for him. Seems like Smart has really adjusted much of his game at all to, you know, a different role or a different position or whatnot. It seems like he's just going out there and just, you know, I'm gonna do what I know how to do, and you know, we're gonna ride or die with it. You know, getting back to the double big for a second, the real concern is with Rob still. I mean, one of two tonight. I mean, that's you know, really a borderline non-existent, you know, on the offensive end. The rebounds aren't, you know, he's not flying.
This is a big night for my prediction too, that Horford's going to be better than Rob this year.
Horford's been their best player. I mean, Horford's been their best player through three games. So,
oh, he looks like he never left. It's unreal.
Horford looks great. I'm like, I'm on the fast track to apology cam. I'm not ready for it yet, but it seems like I'm heading that way. It might be the first one of the year, but the way he's playing, I mean, he looks light years better than some of his teammates do on the court, including Rob, which is, in my opinion, and I think if John was here, he would say the same. It's just been the biggest disappointment so far. It's just, he just seems like he's like a foot
lower. Probably smart, but it's close.
Yeah.
It's close, but I mean, Rob's like a foot lower than he was last year. What's that?
Why do you think that is? Is it the uptick in minutes? Because obviously he's not used to playing this. I mean, he hit his career high in minutes a couple of games ago. What do you clock at 47? It's not an uptick in minutes.
These guys aren't babies. You know, like they're fully capable of playing upper 20 minutes to lower, you know, 25 to 35 minutes a game. They're professional athletes. Like, they should be able to play. They should be able to do that every single day.
And that's the concern with Brown, but we'll get to that. That's
going to be a whole other topic. But with Rob, it's similar concern right now because Rob might just be playing hurt. You know, is he playing hurt? We know that he's been dealing with that knee pain again. We know that he is noticeably, you know, less explosive out there on the court, and that's really been his. You know, that's the difference maker between Rob and everybody else is that he has been able to take it to that extra level or that extra foot, you know, and he's not really playing above the rim right now, which means he's really not useful the way that he was for you last year. And that was the whole thing about Rob, is that when he goes into the game, he can do things that nobody else on the court can do. Right now, he doesn't really seem to be doing much of anything outside of the norm, and the norm isn't going to cut it. He's just not, you know, that makes double big completely, like you said, Bobby, just get rid of it.
I'm not as low on Rob as you are, Jimmy. I think a key with him that we got to consider, and this is why I kind of gave Horford the benefit of the doubt there in the you know, comparison between the two bigs, is that Horford can handle the ball. He can run the ball in transition and score being the only guy who touches it. Right. Rob has to get created for. And when we talk about the facilitation gap on this team right now, nobody really stepping up to the plate in that regard. There's nobody to throw rob the ball, which is the only way he's going to score, the only way he's going to do anything out there. And, you know, I think the key right now, and Sean Grandy said this on his broadcast, I thought it was a good point, they're just throwing the ball anywhere to him. They make it like, you know, if he is physically limited, or even if he isn't on a normal day, some of these passes they're throwing him are just impossible to finish. Just go up there and get it. You're like, you're going to jump 20 feet in the air. And I think they maybe got a little too used to that last year because they are not putting it on target for him. I haven't seen a single great pass to Rob, maybe outside that smart one on the breakout against Toronto. And, you know, sometimes they're putting him flopping on his back, you know, landing hard. That's a recipe for this guy to get hurt. And, you know, I kind of felt the same way with Horford after last game, too. He plays 30 minutes in this one, get a back-to-back tomorrow. They're asking Horford to do so much for this team. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the most important player on the team. And when you pull him out, as we saw against Toronto, it can be a disaster. And I thought it was again here when they blew the lead in the fourth. This guy's going to play 30 minutes, I think, for the team to be able to compete. And if he sits tomorrow, if they give him a break, I think it's going to be ugly against Charlotte, so we'll see where that goes. But right now, you're way too dependent on Al Horford and Rob Williams catching lobs downhill for floor spacing.
I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, you don't want to see it go all season long, but, I mean, for now, why not ride that momentum that Al's got going right now?
Oh,
I mean,
of course. It's something great that you can play 30 tonight.
I don't think it's temporary, honestly. I mean, ideally –
I don't either. Why would it be?
I'm saying that energy. I don't think it's just gonna like this is just like a spike. It's gonna drop.
Man, you look dominant out there. Oh my god!
I think
Gordon, relax over there.
Oh my god, Gordon and Tate, they had to like shove him out of bounds when he was posting them up to stop him when he got like the two or three foul calls in a row there. That run out and transition that effectively iced the game there when he blew up the set. He was entering his 29th minute at that point when he got that steal. And right. You know, the shot blocking out there was impressive, too. How many blocks does he have this season at this point? Like, three a game? It's got
to
be.
Double digits at this point. So that's great. And obviously, you like to see that. But what Celtics fans don't want to hear is Jaylen Brown missing game, especially if it's something to do with his left knee, because that was the case Sunday.
Oh, we're going there.
Ime Udoka, what's up?
We're going there. We're doing the Jaylen segment.
All right. I said, don't go there.
No, I said, we're going there.
Talk about it.
We put it off as long as we could. We put it off as long as we possibly could. But
right.
In reality, well, how about Ime Udoka, in reality, it's the most important thing by far.
How about Ime Udoka delivering the good news, bad news, right? We came out with the bad news first, but the good news is he's hoping that that he'll be able to go tomorrow night, of course, the second night of a back-to-back set for the Celtics team. It almost seemed like he wanted to say this is strictly precautionary, but he wouldn't use that language. But, I mean, Bobby – What did you think about it? Like, is this more of a precautionary thing when you think about him having COVID and double overtime and, you know, the first night of a back-to-back set? Or do you think this is something that could linger, you know, long-term for Jaylen?
Well, it's precautionary, but that doesn't mean it's a good thing. The explanation that stuck out to me, and this was his explanation on the injury, is that he thinks Brown ramped up too fast after coming up back from COVID. And, of course, played 40-something minutes in that first game and then was hurting within the next day or two after the Toronto game. So right now it seems like overuse, but the concern I know Jimmy's probably going to hit on hard is that you're dealing with overuse this early into the season. You're struggling with minutes. You have to sit out a game. It's precautionary, but you don't like to have to take precautionary measures this early in the season. I'm not as concerned about this injury specifically, but when you look at him last year, where do you have wrist, hip, knee, maybe both knees, right? And probably another injury, ankle, that I can't think of. He had so many injuries last year, and he's becoming a guy at this point who does miss a fair amount of games the full of the year. And at this point, what's he, 24 now, 25? This is a guy who's just a little bit injury prone, not extremely injury prone. He'll be back quick from this, as Ime said. But you do worry just about lingering, nagging injuries like tendonitis for him, which is something he's dealt with at this point through multiple seasons in his career. This isn't a panic situation. Like, I don't think we're worried about Brown missing weeks here, but it's early. It's an early injury, which is concerning.
So that's it right there. It's the fact that we're in game three. And we're already trying to find reasons to justify why he might be missing a game, you know, whether it's, you know, ramping up too quickly or, you know, coming back from COVID or they're on the first night of a back-to-back. none of these things, and listen, I don't know what, you know, after effects of COVID he's dealing with, but the Celtics didn't mention COVID as, you know, being the reason why he's up. They mentioned that it was the left knee. So lower body injuries always scare me. You got a wrist injury, that's fine. You know, get over, you know, it heals, you move on. Lower body, that's like something that basically, I will give the medical breakdown right now. I am a doctor. lower body injury that's just nagging. I mean, we're in game three and he's already got knee pain. This is an issue that he dealt with last year. And the fact that this is already the game, I'm sorry, but that is borderline panic. And I get people chirping me on Twitter being like, oh, this guy sounds like a lot of fun, like talking about me, just because I'm a little like nervous about the fact that he had to miss a game already. But I think you're actually in denial if you can just brush this off as, oh, they're just like resting him because whatever reason you want to give. Like, this is a guy who's in the prime of his career. He shouldn't need any rest. Like, he's not playing because he has apparently a pretty serious level of knee pain that he can't play. And that's a bad deal. I mean, this isn't Kemba Walker we're talking about here. The Celtics, Kemba Walker, for that very reason, because they couldn't depend on him. He couldn't play back-to-backs. He couldn't play a certain amount of minutes. And, you know, whether that was a team decision, well, listen, I hate to say it, but, I mean, the way that's going with, it's like they're treating him almost similarly, right? I mean, they're not going to play him because there's a back-to-back coming up. But if that was the case, wouldn't they play him tonight and just not play him the next night? So I don't know. I mean, I feel like you're going to mixed messages maybe. But for me, I'm on high alert. I obviously want to see Jaylen Brown healthy and out there. So for him to have to miss the game, I'm sure he didn't want to miss the game. So to me, that has to be pretty serious.
Yeah, I'm not on high alert.
I mean, and there's a lot of people who just don't want to think that way. And that's fine. You can go about your day however you want to. But to the facts, I mean,
he's got this left patella
tendinopathy. Can't even properly pronounce
it's interesting, but coming from Celtics fans, like, you would think they would be the ones to smash the panic button, because we've been down this road so many times with the, you know, all-stars, your premier players going down.
Exactly.
Never this early though, but, well, I guess, yeah, that has happened in the past, in recent history.
Yeah, I feel the same way I did about knee pain.
Like, was there something that he should have done in the offseason? Was there some sort of procedure that maybe he elected not to take, or that he should have done while he was going through the wrist, rehabbing from the wrist injury? Was there something he could have done to clean something up, some arthroscopic something that could have cleaned this up that he chose not to? I don't know. I mean, that's 100%. I'm just wondering.
Well, Bobby,
because if this is something that's going to nag all season long, Celtics have a ton of back-to-backs this year. I think they have the most back-to-backs in the NBA.
Yeah, I thought he had a cleanup of some kind, right? Yeah. I do remember that too.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
So he did that.
Yeah, I believe he did.
To that effect, that he was experiencing something and he had. Yeah, so
I think he's gonna be okay. It's the same injury as Rob. That. Rob was out there the next night. Rob has looked not great, but fine to me.
What? And Rob is a foot lower than he's been. He's literally playing below the rim. He's clearly hindered by something. He's playing okay, Bobby. He's playing well. He had 2 points and like 2 rebounds tonight.
Yeah, but he was really good against the Knicks, and I thought really good against Toronto. So, first bad game here. The sustainability of this team is my biggest worry. I don't think they're going to be able to sustain injuries again this year. I don't think they have the depth for it. The young guys are struggling. Pritchard, Romeo, Nesmith, go down the list. Romeo's hurt again. We didn't even mention that. So, well, I don't think this team can sustain an injury at any position, and that's my real concern here. I'm not concerned about any singular ailment right now that any of these guys are going through. I'm just worried that when a guy comes out,
Bobby, why wouldn't you be somewhat concerned that Jaylen Brown missed game three of the season with left knee pain? Why wouldn't that concern you?
I'm somewhat concerned. I'm not on high alert like you, to use your words.
I'm on high alert. I've got my antennas up right now because it always starts.
Keep them up.
Pain. It always starts with a little bit of pain, and then all of a sudden,
it always starts with a little.
Listen, I'm. The Celtics have not earned. The Celtics have not earned our trust and admiration when it comes to handling injuries. One little ailment
you're
becomes
better luck
a trade
just going
a
on a WebMD and figuring it out on your own. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Jimmy, like that's how I felt like most Celtics fans would react too. Honestly, I was a bit surprised, but again, I think it's because a lot of it has to do with what Ime said. He kind of calmed people down, shortly after he delivered the bad news.
Well, there's the bad news of the day. The good news
of
the
day. He has no choice. He needs to be the coming presence. So I appreciate
the Romeo news coming after the fact. The Romeo news dropped after the fact, right? He didn't even talk about it. It was after his pregame. I don't know if he was asked about it postgame. Well, you can check that out in a little bit. We'll find out. But Romeo, what was it? Sore calf?
Yeah, left calf strain. Isn't that calf strain?
Calf strain,
yeah,
or calf tightness is what it was
calf
called.
Calf tightness. That's better than calf strain. Calf strain would be kind of serious.
Yeah, so it's just it's tightness. That's what
it's like
calling.
With Jaylen Brown out tonight. How tight is your calf? With Jaylen Brown out, you needed that reinforcement.
Hey, I'm all for being.
You
cautious.
Must have the tightest calf in the world to not be able to play.
After Rob came down with his injury, I said if he needs to take a month off here to get it right, why not? You know, it's the first month. Get it right. And apparently it just looks like something they're going to have to manage when it comes to this injury in particular. John's not here. John would be sounding alarms. There'd be horns blaring. He'd be pulling up every medical worst-case scenario on this injury in particular.
Guys, this is bad. Yeah.
He'd say Jaylen Brown would be better off tearing his ACL.
The patella can burst. It can burst.
Look, none of us are doctors, but you guys know it could burst, right? No. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the antenna should be up, Jimmy. You're right. We should.
In his defense, he ended up being fairly right on Kemba, though. I mean, he was right on Kemba.
So, I don't know about the ACL thing still, but I get what he was getting at.
Right.
What, the clean break combo? We're never going to forget that.
Right. I mean, my big thing is with Jaylen, it's like – like you said, Bobby, he's had a handful of injuries. You know, you can go down the line. He's a physical player. He's a slasher. Plays hard on both ends. He's always going to be a guy that could be more susceptible to getting banged up. But really, to have left knee soreness after two games, that to me, I mean, I don't know how you manage. How do you manage it? Like I said, like they haven't even had
a long season ahead.
Exactly, it's a long season ahead. And like you said, they don't have the depth to overcome Jaylen Brown missing 30 games, you know, throughout the year for whatever reason, whether it's knee or whatever.
Hey, 30 games. Jimmy, that'd be terrible.
You just don't have that depth. I mean, clearly, shit, I know it would be terrible. Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm saying, like, if they have to manage his – if he has to take the Bobby
role,
it's like,
30.
Oh, he's fine with
see
Rob.
20.
Right, sure. Let's just say 20, but do they have that depth? I mean, Romeo, you can't depend on Romeo either. Don't. He's out for any reason under the sun.
No, this is when you see the other guy step up. Whether that, you know, Al Horford, you can rely on right now. Grant Williams, shit, he just tied
we talked about it. You can't overdo it with those guys.
All right, guys, we're going to get back to our conversation here. But first off, we want to tell everybody, of course, about our sponsor, which is INSA.
INSA.
Yep. Which is Massachusetts Premier Cannabis Dispensary. That's INSA, INSA. They're the premier dispensary because the founders, Pat and Pete, they re-engineered the cannabis model from what they sell to how they sell it, while never forgetting anybody or everyone and making sure everybody who wants a piece of the action is included.
Weed guy move, just always passing it down to the next guy.
It's for everyone. INSA's dispensaries are inviting and modern. Come and learn more. The staff are authorities on the science of all of the growing, the technologies. They can answer every single question there. And so where do you go? You got a million of these things. Well, actually four. In Salem, East Hampton,
close.
Boston Delivery, two Springfield locations. One of them's near the MGM Casino. What you do if you go, mention that the guys at the Garden Report said stop by and you get a sweet t-shirt for one penny. Okay, we got like 100 of them, and they're fun, they're sweet.
I got one right here.
Are you wearing? You're wearing one? Shoot,
INSA.
Okay, I would like to get one. I'm gonna have to borrow one.
Okay, I'm repping it. But go check it out. Tell them the Garden Report sent you. Get the T-shirt for a penny, and then who knows what else you might find.
I've been meaning to go to MGM, so that's gonna be a nice little pit stop on the way.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They're local. Support your local company. It's not some friggin' tech bros coming from Silicon Valley. These guys grew up. They're buddies in Springfield. And so this is a local dispensary. It's not just guys who are like, I'm going to go make money selling weed. It's a local company. So go support it. INSA. It is our sponsor. Tell them the Garden Report sent you. Get your T-shirt. and whatever else you desire.
18 points.
You can get by against the Rockets, Josue, but you're talking about a game against an Eastern Conference team. The East is stacked this year. The Celtics, I went through them
too. Short term.
But we're talking about short term, but we also might be talking about just maintenance throughout the season. You have to pick and choose now which games are you going to sit in, which games is he going to play less. You know, like you can't go through, can't survive a season that way. Look at the East. The Celtics might be the eighth best team in the East if they're lucky, based on, you know,
that's how some other teams. Right now?
I had them at sixth at the best before the season started, and I can't tell you anything's changed my mind so far.
And if he's, if Jalen's missing 25, 30 games, then you know he's going
to
bump him out.
And I'm not saying he's going to miss those games. I'm just saying, for example, like if you have to start dealing with managing, whether it's Jaylen Brown or Rob Williams or whoever it is, like you said, Bobby, they just don't have the depth really to overcome those, big, stretches of without being with their starters or without their, guys that they're supposed to get 30 minutes a game from, 30 plus minutes. That's why I'm concerned. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just like, it's like, damn, like it's game three and we're already at this point. Like that's shitty. Like that's not what you want to see.
Few things from Ime post game. Romeo's calf just felt tight there in warmups. Team wanted to be safe with him, keeping him out. And after the first win with the Celtics, it's overdue. You guys took too long to get it. That's Ime in 5-6 words right there.
Oh, wow. I thought he was talking us when you said that.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this. This is kind of interesting. Celtics tweeted this, I guess, like, little celebration in the locker room for Ime's first win.
Good vibes. Season was over. Now they're celebrating and dancing.
Look at that.
How it goes with this team. Yeah, there you go.
That's actually a nice thing to see. I'm happy that. Anyway,
the roller coaster continues in Boston.
Figured out.
We varied the lead a little bit here. At the podium right now is really, I think, the story of the season so far in a positive light. The chat, I think, is going to have to do an apology cam early this year, unless they're willing to hold out on the guy that many of them want to just simply release. Grant Williams, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA to start this season.
Grant Williams.
Unreal. Yeah,
just like we all thought.
25 of them when his career started.
Yeah, and since then, keep track of it, like through that regular season, playoffs, and now into this season, and last season as well, I guess, because he started a couple years ago at this point. He's like a 40% three-point shooter at this point if you take out those first 25. So this guy, they leave him wide open. Nobody even, tries to contest it, and he hits them with relative ease at this point in his career. So good four spacer for him to have. The problem still is that he just gets abused on defense. Just taller, bigger guys in the post pummel him. You saw Sengun going at him. But as far as four spacing goes, Ime said it, shooting's at a premium. And this guy is now shooting, let's say, 9 of 13 this year, I think is the total. So just incredible stuff from Grant in a four spacing aspect right now. And I think you're going to have to continue to play him. I'm not going to make a case for him to start, but he's going to have to be a steady, let's see, what's he playing right now in terms of minutes per night? Say 20 minutes a night, I think is fair.
Yeah. I mean, this is that's the thing. Like guys like Grant, when this team's faced with adversity, like I want to see someone like this step up, and I want to get confident because long term toward the end, the tail end of the season, I want that to be automatic. That confidence that we're seeing right now in his approach and his shooting, and especially on the defensive end. Like we talked about it in game one, Julius Randle, like he just couldn't get a stop, but it didn't. It didn't intimidate him on the offensive end. He continues to shoot. He's showing a lot of confidence for sure. So I don't mind it right now, especially coming off the bench for sure.
Especially if they're not going to guard him. Yeah.
People can feel the way they do about the team overall. And there's still plenty of question marks before things are ironed out. But one thing I'm sure we can all agree on is the second unit is much stronger compared to last year's team. I mean, that's one thing that I feel like really can
when they're healthy.
Could be the difference between them getting home court potentially, top four or five seed.
Once you start digging deep though, like tonight for two or three guys deeper down the lineup there, I think the first batch of guys that they bring off the bench are pretty good. Schroeder, Richardson, one of the bigs, and Grant. But once you start going down to Nesmith, Pritchard, Romeo, those guys to start this year, it's been rough. And you know, there's guys who haven't even touched the floor yet, like Kanter and Parker and those kind of guys, Bruno Fernando. So you start getting down pretty rough once you get a pass like 10 in this rotation, I'd say. And man, Nesmith has been, you look at the rookies right now, Pritchard's shot poorly, but I think he's been okay in limited minutes, probably more toward bad. I like some of the things he does out there, but if I'm going to be honest with his shooting, he's probably been bad. Langford's been solid, but had a few bad games, and now he's hurt. And Nesmith's been really bad. The game looks faster than him again. He's 0-10 this season.
Yeah, so Ime misses Romeo. I feel like Ime was the one that, like, look, no, I want Romeo for tomorrow night, especially because of this matchup against the Hornets, which we're about to get into. Like, you're going to need a little Romeo. You're going to need a little bit of everyone. So, I'm with you. I think he certainly has Romeo above Nesmith on the depth chart.
What do you do with
Romeo? I don't know. What the hell is going on with my connection?
Jimmy.
My connection's all effed up. My connection's all effed up. I don't know what the hell's going on. What were you guys talking about?
We're talking Grant Williams. Look at that smile. How can you miss it?
Hey, I hit on Grant earlier in the show. I mean, shout out to Grant, man. He's doing his thing. He's being like basically like the 3-and-D guy that will keep him in the league. I never really believed in Grant as like the big. He was never big enough to be a big as far as I was concerned. So he went the other direction.
No, he wasn't slim enough. That's what it was, Jimmy.
Keep him.
That's what it was.
Grant Slim Williams.
Keep him at the four. He can switch onto the five if he really needs to in this system, but don't play him at the five. And that means you got to get away from this double big at some point. And, you know, I explained it in the preseason. You're probably playing like 11, 12 minutes of double big overall. You're getting another rotation through the course of the game. The problem is when you play double big, you do kind of have to play Grant some center minutes or Kanter. And right now they've shown no stomach for Kanter. So Grant's getting those minutes, and they're really struggling when he plays center right now because guys just body him in there. You saw those double teams that they had to throw at Şengün when he was going at Grant. That kind of disrupted the defense right there. And he does an okay job, but I'd even think about, and again, as we're talking about where the starting lineup goes, maybe playing him at the four next to Horford out of the gate. Yeah, send Rob to that bench, let him play alongside Pritchard. I think you got to find somebody from the bench right now to come up, whether it's Schroeder, Grant, one of those guys.
Forever trying to bench Rob.
It's not about benching Rob. He's going to play the same minutes. It's just about who he plays with. Now, you know, right now he's just not working all that well with the starting lineup. And, you know, Horford, I think, is one of the best Celtics, so he should be out there with the starters.
Tomorrow night you're going to be like – but guys, is he gonna bench Rob now? Like, if he has one more bad game,
it's not about benching Rob. It's just where he's playing. He's gonna play the same amount of minutes. Grant, though, making a case. They need a shooter in the starting lineup.
You say Grant's making a case to be a starter?
Yeah, I think there's an open competition for that fifth starter spot. And there has been all along, and now Horford has solidified himself in it. And you're looking at Rob now as a replaceable piece there. And Jalen, obviously, depending on how long he's out, there'll be a chance for a lot of different guys to try out for that spot, I think.
All right, let's talk about the Hornets.
Listen, I like, shout out Grant, but I'm not ready to be like Grant the starter.
You need it badly.
All right,
I just don't think of Grant that way. He's going to have to do a lot more
before we start. We got the Hornets now, guys. On to the next one. We're on to Charlotte. All right, and believe it or not.
The Hornets are really good. I watched some today.
Not only are they – I'm about to get there, Bobby. Give me a second. Not only are the Hornets undefeated right now, 3-0, they just handed the Brooklyn Nets a 16-point loss. So they're feeling themselves right now. And right now the Celtics, they're going to try to make it 2-1 or 2-2, excuse me, right? On the season. How are you feeling about this, guys? Because the Hornets, I feel like this is the kind of team that could provide the Celtics with a lot of issues here. You know, they got wings that can score. You know, they can move up and down the floor. LaMelo Ball's look great. They got guys that can put points up on the board in a hurry. You know, guys that can score in double digits.
Yeah, Miles Bridges had, 32 today? So he's dangerous. Yeah,
he's 32.
The Hornets are nasty. Remember how good they were the most fun team to watch in the NBA last year before the injuries hit them.
I thought so, too. I couldn't believe people were so low on them coming in this year.
Yeah, Hayward is off tonight, but he hasn't been bad this season so far.
Yeah,
no, man, they're legit. That's gonna be a tough game. I mean, like we already talked about, second end of a back to back on the road against a team that's, you know, obviously playing well. I mean, that would be a huge W for the Celtics if they can pull it off. I mean, obviously they're gonna need Jaylen Brown in that game. I don't know if Ime said anything about what his status was for tomorrow or anything, but you know, they're going to need all hands on deck for that one for sure.
Yeah, it'll probably be a game time decision, I'd imagine. Have they played Hayward yet since he left? I don't think they have they?
I think they have. He just hasn't. He hasn't played in Boston yet. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, there was the one. There was the one reunion game where he got hurt, like right before. With I think it was the hand or something.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure if they played him. Now that I think about it,
yeah, I don't think they have, because we would have probably remembered that. There probably would have been a 30-point performance that we would have been like, ah. Everybody does that to the Celtics, so look out for that. Of course, the revenge game that happens with everybody leaves Boston. Yeah. So, and you know, they're gonna run the similar issues that they did in that Knicks game: shooting, ton of pace. A ton of wing defenders and versatile lineups that Charlotte throws out there, and their coach is outstanding. So this is one of the better teams in the East, I think. I think they're in play for one of those lock seeds, 1-6. They don't play a ton of defense. They only really have one center, so they're going to be going small a bunch. And the question you ask with the Celtics is, do you chase them there, or do you kind of stick with those double big lineups and try to exert mismatches? So far, Ime has been more of the latter. We're going to play our style and try to contrast that, and that didn't work good against the Raptors at all. They look so slow against the Raptors, as John said.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a loss. I'm gonna chalk this one up to a loss. I think the Hornets are really good. Yeah.
Okay.
LaMelo Ball.
Well, they're going in as the under. I mean, the Celtics are. I don't know what the line is, but I'm sure that they're going to be an underdog, probably by like around 5 points or something. Probably three to 5 points, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they five might be a little high, but I think they're going to be an underdog by a few points.
They didn't have a scare in the fourth quarter either. That was the underrated thing tonight, is the Celtics had that 20-point lead. Could have rested some guys, but they get within 12, and you got to bring the starters out there. The walk of shame that we saw last year. Let me double-check that Hayward thing, because that is interesting.
I think some people in the comments said no, he hasn't played. But
yeah, that's what I assumed, too. Yeah, he got hurt the game before.
He was hurt, right? I think he sat out that game,
He got hurt the game before, then he missed the last two. So this will be the first game for Gordon Hayward against the Celtics. Do you miss him? I miss him every time I see him play.
No, I don't miss him. I don't miss him.
Who, Hayward? I mean, listen, I think
he gave them exactly what they needed.
Miss him? We never saw him. We never saw the real Gordon
Hayward. It's like kind of like Fournier vibes. Like when you see him on the other team, like, damn, this dude can freaking play. But I feel like he never clicked, or he was never healthy enough for a long enough stretch.
I don't know that guy, right? When I see him, I don't know that guy. Like, I never saw
him. I think we can all agree that Hayward would make the Celtics better if you're just adding Hayward to the team. So obviously, they miss him in that sense. But let's not forget, he did get hurt last year, and that was the knock the whole time, is that this guy can't stay on the court. He got hurt for a good amount of the games last season. He didn't play in the playoffs. And, I mean, if that's what happens,
some noise around that team too. Like, is he gonna come back? Like,
he never did, and that was exactly the people who are against the Celtics re-signing Hayward took a little bit of a victory lap, not to like rub it in his face that he got hurt, but just to say like, you know what, this is why we didn't want the Celtics to re-sign them, because he can't stay on the court. And sure enough, last season started out great for the Hornets. That, like we talked about, they're one of the most fun teams to watch. But he got hurt again, and then he got hurt again after that. So it's the same deal. I mean, if he can stay on the court, then that's
Bobby,
a different story.
You can't put that up, man. Like, it's about you, you know?
Bobby, did you post that? Did you put that up about you, bro? The thing is, Bobby actually says, people always tell me that I look like Gordon Hayward. It's like, dude, no.
I see it.
Not really.
How many times do you see a person say, yeah, I see the comparison. Nobody says that. Yeah.
And nobody says that.
Yeah.
I've seen it a lot in the comments.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jimmy. I just feel like it was always, okay, this looks great. What a great stretch from Hayward. But how long is this going to last, right? There was always that question mark lingering over his head throughout his entire tenure with the Celtics. So I just feel like we never got the Utah Hayward. We never got the guy that we expected. And then I felt like every time he put his best out there, it was always measured to the guy in Utah. You know, like he could never match that.
No, he didn't match up to that. But you know what? Like, obviously, you know, what transpired after that didn't really work out either. I mean, with the TPE, Fournier, all that nonsense. Yeah. I mean, looking back, you might as well just pay more for Hayward.
his debut, you know, that night in Cleveland was the beginning of the end, you know? He was never the same, and it just changed a lot of things for the Celtics' franchise, you know?
Yeah, so sure. Tomorrow night.
I want to say that was a good thing, you know, or if
Bobby,
things could have been different.
What is that comment? What does that comment even mean?
I don't know.
Anything that says Bobby in it, he's just throwing it up there.
Yeah, I'm just running through him. I know you had some thoughts on Jalen Green, Jimmy. Want to wrap with that?
Oh, man. I mean, I just think that dude's unbelievable already. I mean, we're talking about, like, game three, and he's dropping 30 points, and he's crushing his three-pointers, and just looks like a guy that you can really build around. So I think the Rockets really hit it out of the park with that pick. Unreal player. He honestly looked like the best player on the court tonight.
Yeah, they fell to them, which was good for them. I think they were thrilled about that. But
right.
We'll see. I think this was an abnormal shooting night for him. I don't think over the course of the season he's going to be this ridiculous as a shooter. I think he's going to take a lot, make a decent amount, and probably fall somewhere in like that Trae Young range is where I see him as a shooter. But you do see how NBA ready he is. He's kind of the first guy to come through this G League system and – you play with veterans like Amir Johnson and Jarrett Jack and those type of guys, along with some other young pros. Looked like a good pass for him. It didn't work for everybody. Deshaun Nix did pretty terrible there, and I don't think he even got drafted. But Green came through, didn't have to play in a rigid college system, could play some NBA ball at the G League level, and it worked out for him. And he was pretty amazing here. 8 threes, right? That's the record against the Celtics for a rookie. So pretty ridiculous. Yeah. The Rockets are going to be horrible. They're probably going to pick up another good young player. They made major mistakes with the Harden debacle last year, and looks like they're going to get bailed out of it with some good picks here. Does Şengün intrigue you guys, though? Because that's so interesting one for me, because the Rockets picked him with the Celtics pick. It went through the Thunder, went over to them, and now Şengün is kind of the what-if guy for the Celtics. I'm not blown away by him, but he does do some interesting things.
What do you think? What do you think of him, Josue? Same thing.
Some
people
go crazy
over
him.
He didn't really do a whole lot tonight, to be completely honest.
Oh, he did the pass. The little behind-the-back pass to Christian Wood. That is going to be a whole podcast in Houston.
You didn't like Marcus Smart's flashy little pass, did you?
Oh, my God, that was terrible. We didn't even talk about Smart tonight. We'll save it for next show, I guess. But he has been so bad. Unfathomably bad. Like he's missing everything. He's not hitting anything inside the arc. He's not going inside the arc. He's not passing amazingly. He's passing okay, but not as good as I expected. And that one play, that one blew my mind. And then the other one was Şengün on that post-up. Actually, Smart was just standing there as Wood blew by him and hit a cutting layup there off Şengün's post-up. So I don't know what's going on with Smart. I'm not, like, thrilled about it, and it's really damaging to this team if he's just going to kind of be mediocre all year.
All right.
Yeah.
Final thoughts before we get up out of here, Bobby?
I guess that was mine.
Was it the Smart thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think this is a game we've seen him bounce back. You know, the backcourt, LaMelo Ball, and, you know, guards on this team that can really score in a hurry, Ish Smith. You know, not to say that he doesn't get up for certain games, but, like, I think this is one of those games where he's like, okay, I'm going to bounce back here in a big way on the defensive end. And, I guess that's my final thought heading into this game against the Hornets. I do think this is going to be a nail-biter for sure. Like, I think this is going to be – Bobby, can you put a comment that's not about you? Like, just one –
They're all about me right now.
Who does Josue look like? Let's get a Josue comment in there.
Yeah, right?
There's Josue.
Oh, there we go. Oh, damn.
Yo, that's a good one.
You wanted it, you got it.
Wait. No, don't. My man Josue is not unemployed, for the record.
Oh, my God. No, good.
But if you saw DJ Augustine that was unemployed, he might look like me. He might look like Josue.
Josue
is like a basic creative player in NBA.
Yo, that's one of the funniest ones I've seen in a while. That's funny.
Josue.
Yeah, man, that's tough spelling.
All right, do Jimmy spelling. Now. Damn, all right, Bobby.
Yeah, no, you guys can skip me. You can skip me. Don't worry about me. We'll get me next time.
Jimmy's like, please don't.
Please don't.
Lucky Jimmy.
I think that's my that's my final thought. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen between Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown comes back. That's another prediction. I think he comes back in this one, and we get a nail biter. It's gonna be a good show, a good game, and a good show right after.
Good game and a good show. I'll be here tomorrow. Right. Hopefully, you guys will be around. My final thought.
Go ahead.
What's up?
I said I hope
my final thoughts.
Go. Oh, I was gonna say.
I keep cutting you off.
I hope people enjoyed. We tried our best to bring the John negativity here, even in a win. People didn't like it, but I thought there was some stuff to nitpick here tonight. So hopefully
people didn't like us.
No, people didn't like it.
Listen, I mean,
I was gonna do the whole John thing. I was gonna, yeah.
Listen, they celebrated their first win of the season. It was in game. I mean, I think most people expected to win this game. So I mean, yeah, we're obviously glad that they won, but we're not going to spend an hour and a half like praising the Celtics for beating the Rockets. But there's a lot of other
things. They weren't amazing. The Rockets just kind of stunk.
No, there's a lot of other things to talk about, so we try to hit them all. You know, that's just the way it is. I mean,
hey, I'll be very impressed if they beat the Hornets tomorrow. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Me too. My final thought doesn't have anything to do with the game. Found out earlier today that Bob Neumeier, legend in the Boston media scene,
yes,
for the last
call, man.
Like. Gosh, how long? 40 years
since
plus.
I can remember.
Unfortunately, passed away due to some, you know, health complications. He was 70 years old. I was lucky enough to work with Bob at CSN New England for a few years, and I can just tell you guys, one of the nicest guys, funniest guys, had a story for everything. You know, commanded the room, and when that red light turned on to go live, I mean, this guy was like the smoothest you can imagine. Like, he didn't need a script. He didn't need anyone telling him, you know, what to say. It was, everything was just natural to him. And, you know, I was really sad to hear that he passed away. But, you know, he was just he lived like an unbelievably awesome life. You know, NBC, WEEI, CSN New England. This guy is like a legend. And, you know, obviously, you know, sad to hear that he passed away, but it won't be forgotten. I think there's not really, you know, many people in the field or really in the world like Bob Neumeier. So. I just wanted to say, you know, thoughts and prayers out to their family and, you know, rest in peace to Bob. Good guy. Knew me.
Yeah. Good call, Jimmy. I got a chance to work with him a bit at EEI when I was back in my producer days and I was behind the glass. And yeah, just a true professional. And it's the stories that you hear from other people that really is the testament. Right. And knew me for sure. And you saw that in the telecast. I mean, Abby even took the moment to give him that shout out and of course shared, you know, personal experiences with him. So yeah, it's a good call.
A lot of the people who are still at NBC Boston, you know, tons of people still work there, you know, work right hand in hand with Neumeier. And he always worked like the late shift, and you know, I'd be stuck working the late shift sometimes, and he just kept it fun. Like, would be, you know, I think Max Letterman tweeted something like the debates that Neumeier had with Kyle Draper, who everyone who follows the Celtics knows Kyle Draper. They used to just go at it, like all in good fun, but you know,
Drake
it's like,
so fired
it's like
up,
12:30, 1 a.m. in the newsroom, and these guys are going at it like about something, you know, sports related, just ridiculousness. But that was the type of guy Neumeier was, and he really brought the best out of everybody, and he made it fun. So
this is it's crazy looking back the last 2 years, just how many people, you know, public and private, we've kind of lost here. It's just been a really tough 2 years in that regard. I want to throw one out here, local, private, the Hamill family in Peabody lost their son. Really sad today. He had the wake for him. College senior. Everybody knew him here in Peabody. I was in a line for 2 hours at the wake. It was really tough one for the city here. So I want to send some love out to that family who, you know, went to my church, was on the bus growing up. Really good kid, good friend of my sister, good friend of a lot of her friends. That was a really tough one this month.
That's too bad.
I want to send some love to their family too. Just 22, probably. Just brutal, brutal loss.
That's too bad. Sorry to hear,
Bob. We'll see you guys in about 24 hours. Brand new show.
Yes, sir. Back at it again.
Brand new episode. As I do my plug here, but guys,
you can't plug your own show.
You're gonna thank me. All right, Cedric Maxwell podcast special guest.
Oh, good plug.
Paul Pierce. Man, incredible interview, guys. I'm not just saying it, okay? One hell of an interview between Cedric Maxwell and Paul Pierce. This is less than 24 hours after the official announcement of him making a name, one of the best, greatest 75 players in NBA history. So you can imagine he was in a really good mood and great spirits.
Yeah.
And you know what Max can – you know what kind of stories and what kind of laughs Max can bring out of people. So for sure, guys, check that out
on CLNS. Oh, my God, the intro. He's like, here with the number 74 player.
Right? That just set the tone right there, yeah. CLNS Media, you already know on YouTube. It's on the page, clnsmedia.com. Check that out. And that's a wrap, guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Celtics, Hornets. See if you can make
what
it win.
What time's the tip-off? 7:30?
Do it for Ime, Celtics. Come on. Give him a second win. He deserves it.
That's right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. 7 o'clock start. 7 o'clock start.
7 o'clock.
Perfect. Good. Sir. Good. Even better.
Early one.
All right. Early show again. Yep. We'll see you back here tomorrow with John Sherrod back in the fold. It'll be the full crew. So we'll see you tomorrow.